بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا، أما بعد. We've been discussing the hadith of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم in regards to حق الطريق, the rights of the road. And in Sharia, we know our life revolves around responsibilities and rights. The rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the rights of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the rights of parents. Then we have the rights of the road also. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam explained to Sahaba radiallahu anhum that the road also has a right. Because it is a public area, therefore it has rights upon you, how you should carry yourself out, not causing taklif, harm to anyone. And among the rights of the roads, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned raddu salam, غَدُّ الْبَصَرْ كَفُّ الْأَذَى رَدُّ السَّلَامِ الْأَمْرُ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَالنَّهْيُ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. That if you are using the public road, marketplace, the mall, the public area, then among the rights of the road for you to inculcate within you taqwa. And taqwa is the main ingredient. Taqwa means to be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And every moment of my life to be conscious of my Creator, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once the consciousness is there, then to fulfill the rights that are binding upon me becomes easy. Because I'm living in the consciousness of my Creator. And Allah has made these rights binding upon us. So whether it's the rights of the road, and we've seen all the amal of Sharia, whether it's fasting also, there also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that we have made fasting fard upon you, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, that you may adopt taqwa. Become conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the command of Allah? To fulfill it. What to refrain from? To abstain from it. So when it comes to Hajj also, فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى. Here also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that خَيْرَ الزَّادِ, the best of provisions you may take for Hajj is taqwa. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. The word tuflihun means to be successful. So Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, if you want success, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. Adopt the taqwa, become conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every moment of your life. So yes, we will have our weaknesses, but I'm conscious of Allah. And very gradually, when the consciousness becomes stronger within my heart, within myself, then I'll tread the path. When Umar bin Khattab was asked, what is taqwa? So he explained how beautifully, what is taqwa? Where a person becomes conscious every moment, that there are rights that are binding on me. I am conscious of my Allah. I'm living in the consciousness of Akhirat. So he explained, taqwa is like a person walking through a thorny garden. There's a thorny path. The path is very narrow. And there are thorny branches that are hanging into and coming onto the path where he's walking. So when he walks in that path, a very narrow path and very... Is there a straight path also? Many bends and curves. And there's thorny trees, thorny plants, thorny branches that are coming onto the path. So he says the person will walk the path and he will hold his clothes together so that the clothes will not get caught into the thorny branches. How careful he is to walk through that path to come out safely so he doesn't get pricked, nor does his clothing get caught in the branches also. He says this is taqwa. This is how we should be leading our life also. I don't get caught. Whether it's my eyes, whether it's my tongue, whether it's my hands. It's a very narrow path to Jannat. Very narrow path to Jannat. And whether it's my clothes, whether it's myself also, I don't get caught. The thorny branches. Then I will have a problem thereafter. So he says, this is taqwa. Whether in the masjid, whether in the marketplace, whether the masturat back home also. So every facet of life to adopt taqwa. So Allah Ta'ala says that when you have this taqwa, you have this consciousness, what is the command of my Creator right now? What I should do, what I shouldn't do. So Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala says, once you have this taqwa, لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ, then you will get your certificate of success. You have made it. So coming back to the rights of the road, Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam mentioned, غَدُّ الْبَصَرْ, to lower the gaze. وَكَفُّ الْأَذَى, to refrain from causing harm to anyone. This way, we need to detail also. Whether it's parking our cars, we don't cause taklif to anyone. We know in our locality, our area, parking is a problem. So parking is the problem, we shouldn't become the problem. They compound the problem also, we park the wrong place. And we know when it comes to the pavements, the sidewalk, that is for walking, not to park the car. Them brothers cannot walk, they have to walk onto the road. So, better for me to park somewhere which is further away, for every step, Sahabi of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi of Allah, that I wish to move nearer to the masjid, Masjid al-Nabawi. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, that diyarakum, stick to where your house is, tuktabu atharukum, that the more steps you will take, the more reward you will be getting. So more steps to the masjid, alhamdulillah, I get more reward. But don't cause taklif harm to anyone. So kafful adha, raddu salam, that also was discussed, replying to the salam, the complete salam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. Replying also with the full reward for the salam and the full dua also. And then Nabi alayhi salatu salam mentioned the rights of the road and the marketplace, al-amru bil ma'ruf wa nahyu anil munkar, to command the good and forbid the evil. This is where there's a lot of weakness on the general masses, that to command the good and to forbid the evil, where a person has the authority, the father of the house, the manager of the business or the boss, the owner of the business, he has authority, then there it is farz upon him. There is farz upon him to command the good and to stop the evil. In the hadith, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned, من رأى منكم منكرا فليغيره بيده. That whoever amongst you sees an evil taking place, then he should change it with his hand. فليغيره بيده. He must change it with his hand. فإن لم يستطع بالإبل then فبلسانه, then with his tongue. And if he is unable, then فبقلبه. The correct translation of the hadith means, correct translation is, should change it with his hand. If he is unable, then change it first with his hand. If he is unable, then change it with his tongue. If he is unable, then change it with the heart. That is the correct translation. Usually we'll find in the kitab is mentioned, they feel bad in the heart. Hadith Sharif doesn't mean this. It means that change it with the heart. How do I change with the heart? It means the person makes some soch and fikr. He sits down, contacts someone, how do I change the situation right now? Nothing confines himself, nothing I can do, think bad about it. No. How to apply the mind and the heart to change it? So coming to the first part of the hadith, to change that evil action right now with the hand. Unfortunately, myself also, when you hear with the hand, only thing we think about is to strike the person. Then I must handle him. So we put the hadith in perspective. These words came out from the Mubarak mouth of Rahmatul Alameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was only Rahmat. How to change it with the hand? How Nabi of Allah would have changed it with his hand? And here, commentators say, put a loving hand around the person. Put a loving hand around the person and counsel him. Change it. Pull him away from the evil deed. For example, in the masjid, we see a youngster, sometimes adults also, sitting at the back of the masjid, on the cell phone, sometimes playing games, and evil taking place. But unfortunately, my attitude also is, not my business, not my son, not my child, not my business, but my masjid is my home, the house of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. I should change it. If I can with my hand, put a loving hand around him, better, oh my son, don't play games in the masjid. Come sit in the front, read your salah. Whether running upstairs or downstairs, put a loving hand around them. One day they will remember. We don't have much time, but I remember one car guzari of an elder. He was an elder at that time. So he mentioned to me that many years ago when I was young, it was a Saturday afternoon, and I was late for the afternoon show. Na'uzu billah. At that time they had the afternoon shows in the bioscope. They say I was running at full speed for it, 6 foot tall. They said I just hit the corner, and an old man was very punchlud salah, was on his way for salah to the masjid. Say I hit him head on. I'm rushing where I'm going to and where he's going to, opposite directions. Say I hit him at full speed, and as he began to fall, I caught hold of him and he caught me. And before I could tell him anything, he said, Beta, you got hurt. He said, oh my son, you got hurt. He said, I felt so bad in my heart. I knew he's going to the house of Allah and I'm going to the wrong place. And he knew where I'm going to right now, my direction. It was down the street from his home. And then he just touched me and he told me, when you get time, come to the masjid. He says, it hit me almost 30 years later, what this man told me. Almost 30 years later, that, oh my son, he didn't tell me, where are you going? What are you doing? What are you rushing for? How commonly we will say it. Road rage. Even if you're walking also. Don't you see, you're running so fast on the road. What's your problem, man? What things won't come out from the mouth? But he was hurt, but he asked whether I got hurt. He just told me, in so beautiful, sweet manner, the better when you get time, come to the masjid. Hit me here. And such a musalli he became till his last breath, first serve behind the imam. See, my whole life changed years later what that man told me. So even the youngsters in our masjid, sometimes we find them playing around. Put our hands around them, give them a good word. Sometimes tell them, make dua for yourself. How many youngsters we have in the masjid? Don't make dua for themselves. You have to remind them that by you doing hifz, did you make dua for yourself? Make dua for your Quran Sharif. Tell him in such a way he feels the warmth and muhabbat. So to command the good doesn't mean now with the hand that I got to handle the person. Put a loving hand around him. If I can't put a loving hand, then ulama say I can write him a note at least. Write him a note. Now we have WhatsApp. So this mentality we have, not my business, not my children. And if I know sometime in the homes, we're hearing the car guzars, the reports of our children, what's happening in the school, what's happening in the madrasa. Sometime my son will say, you know, in the hifz class, in the school, that boy got a cell phone and that boy is doing this and that boy is going out with that girl. What do you say? Not my business. They can carry on. It's our business, our community, our people, it's our families. But then we have this fear that if I tell the father, what will happen? We all are fathers. We all are worried about our children. Therefore, this mentality also, my son, my child, never. They say, never trust our children. There are a few categories of people, ulama say, that you don't trust. Doesn't mean now we have mistrust, but always we are aware. They say, our children, our students. But we all were students one time, and we all were children always, one time. And when it came to our parents, and it came to our satiza and our tutors, we were always on the best behavior. But behind the scenes, we know what we are doing. But unfortunately, now you tell the parents, my son can never be. Already we are in defense. They will go to the school, they go to the madrasa, want to fight with the ustaz also, fight with the teacher also. Then it comes out, finally, it was my child. So to be sweet with them at the same time, and to be firm. So we hear in our circle, so and so child is doing the wrong thing. It is my business. It is my child. So how can I get to the father, call him to the masjid, have a mashwara to make with you? I heard this, please investigate it. Whether it be the spouse also, he also will say, not my business. I don't want to break the home. I don't want to break the command of Allah. So behind all of this, something very important when it comes to commanding good, forbidding evil, ad-deenun nasiha. Nabi Ali Salatu Salam mentioned that deen is well-wishing. That I wish well for every single home in my locality in the ummah. To wish well. Shouldn't be that I'm telling him to score a point. That our house is pious, see what happened to your home. Every home should become a home of piety and taqwa. So the motivation behind everything I do is nasiha. Nasiha here doesn't mean advice, it means well-wishing. I wish well for every single person in the ummah. They must be have the best of dunya, qabr and akhirat. So the right of the road also, whether it's the masjid, the road, the mall, is much detail, whether the marketplace also, how to command the good, how to forbid the evil, we'll discuss ahead inshallah. That we have this, that we see an evil deed taking place, change it with the hand, if I can't with the tongue, we'll discuss with the tongue also, and we change it with the heart. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq inshallah.